6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome in. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Glad you could be with us here. What a weekend, man. What stuff is happening all over Northern Colorado, all over the NFL. A wacky weekend. A lot of tough guys, after I post my predictions, come at me after the game. I talked to trash during the game, maybe. I posted my predictions on Facebook. Supposed to be my friends, right? Facebook is friends. Twitter is followers. Twitter, I fully expect you guys to rip me to shreds and be jerk faces. Facebook, though, whoa. Guys came at me. That's fine. It's fine. It's part of the gig, J. Dean. It's part of the gig. We got a lot of stuff to bust into. UNC football, there's stuff surrounding the University of Northern Colorado football program. Jaden Watson Fisher did an article. Did you see this, Jaden? It's like 20 pages long. So I'm reading through a lot of this Saturday, and we're going to bring Jaden in studio. We're going to talk to her about all of this and break into it. We are looking to get Athletic Director Darren Dunn and Coach Ed McCaffrey on the program later this week. I've been in contact with the school, and it looks like that's definitely going to happen. They were on this morning with Gail. I'm requesting kind of more of a sit-down process. Maybe we don't go over everything line by line, but we talk about it. Because there's a lot, there's one really serious thing here in Jaden's article with the Tribune. Allegations of bias, possible NCAA violations, talking about financial aid. So we're going to get into that story later on today as well. Whew, it's heavy. It's heavy. A lot of this stuff, though, I would say most of the stuff outside of the financial aid, it's not fireable. It's not anything like that. Now the financial aid, they got to make sure that that's all cleaned up. But just getting more information on my side of it. To my understanding, it's not like a free agent. It's not like NFL free agents. It's like, oh, Billy, we're cutting your pay. It doesn't quite work like that. It does, from my understanding now, it does have to go through several trials to get to that financial aid standpoint where it's not as easy as just a coach going up and entering it in his little database and cutting part of the financial aid. So we'll talk about it. We're going to try to get a lot of people on the program to talk about this because it's a big story. Is there truth to it? Is there teeth to it? Again, fast forward into more of the article, communication problems and things of that nature, lack of preparation and investment. Those are not things you're going to fire a head coach for. I'm sorry. This is probably a learning process, a growing process between the university and Ed McCaffrey. The financial aid situation, though, in which I believe Darren said with Gail this morning, yeah, they're going to be looking into it first. And then they got to see how far it'll go outside of that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. What else, man? What a weekend. Should we get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank? Banking made simple. There was a lot of weird stuff happening. Oh, there it is. There's the good. The good for me, I mean, the abs I could throw in there, but I'm sorry, guys. We got to be self-serving here a little bit. The player of the week presented by Red Wing Shoes is Nikola Jokic yet again. His four-game average last week, 25 points, 13.2 rebounds, and 14 assists in wins over Detroit, Brooklyn, New Orleans, and Milwaukee.
Remember, the Nuggets back in November took a season-high 47 three-point attempts against the Bucks. Jokic again, he's got the last 5 points.
Now, Joker tore it up. There, yeah, as you can see, had the last 5 points in some game or another. The bad. Whew. The Colorado State Rams. It was a special night because of the Bigger Than Basketball event that they were doing. But the Rams lost to UNLV, their second loss of the season, their first loss at Moby Arena.
David Roddy, you mentioned it earlier. He's only taken three shots. He's taken one three-pointer. That's his second, and he hits.
David Roddy turned it up late. Still, very rough game for me personally, one of the best in the country, David. So tonight you got the border war between Colorado State and Wyoming. That game is going to be phenomenal. I am very much looking forward to that. And no, I'm not going to pick a damn game tonight because you guys are jerks. Actually, I am picking, and I don't care. You guys think I'm a jinx? I'm going to keep picking. I'm going to pick more. I'm going to pick even more than I've ever. I'm going to be like an American picker on the History Channel. So they're going to call me now. The ugly, speaking of picks, Patrick Mahomes had two interceptions, including one in overtime in this one, to lose to the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC Championship.
Second and three. Pats up in the air and stolen. It's picked off by Cincinnati. Lewis Phillips dropped a very similar chance at a pick in the next play. Montana beat him with a touchdown pass to Taylor. And now they go deep down the field. And it is intercepted on the rebound by Bell. On Bell. Oh, he is clobbered. Clotheslined at the 45. But they take over the Bengals with the third straight game in the playoffs where they come up with a crucial pick.
I love how everybody's like diehard Bengals fans now. You didn't even know who the Bengals were. They haven't won a playoff game since like 1978. I don't remember when. 30 years ago. I can't do math. So that's the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. You just hate the Chiefs so much. Everybody hates Tom Brady. They hate the Chiefs. So then anybody that goes against them, they are suddenly like the ultimate fan of that team. Look, okay, here's my bullet points. This is what I wrote out from the weekend that was. NFL playoffs. Again, win or lose on my picks, you had some great games. Perhaps the last 2 weekends have been the best 2 weekends of playoff football collectively that we've ever seen. CSU lost to UNLV. That is a painful loss. However, their goals are still very much right in front of them. Have a big opportunity tonight in Wyoming. I believe our very own Tanner Schwinter is coming, is going to be up in Wyoming watching this game. Be careful up there. There's been a lot of trash talk between these two teams. It's a big one tonight. Very excited. In fact, this game tonight, early on, Jadeen, is my game of the week. Had a baby. Had a kid. Nothing says this is a big game like it being the whole show game of the week. We're going to bring the swole cracker Steve Ivey on the program to talk about it. But Wyoming 16-3, 5-1 in the conference. CSU 16-2, 6-2 in the conference. I was really hoping they'd run the table in that stretch where they were playing San Jose State, New Mexico, Air Force, Nevada, and UNLV. Just be undefeated all the way through. They lost to UNLV, probably the most unlikely. And no, San Jose State, they were going to smoke them. And New Mexico, all right, maybe it's the more likely. UNLV's a middle-of-the-road team. And it was an uncharacteristic game for pretty much everybody for CSU, out if your name wasn't Isaiah Stevens. But also Bryce Hamilton, did he break a record? Visiting opponent, he scored 45 points in a college basketball game. He had 45 and 7 rebounds and 5 assists. Meanwhile, Isaiah Stevens played his freaking butt off. 35 points, 8 rebounds, 1 turnover, 12 of 21, 6 for 6 from the free throw line. He was great. I almost put him in as player of the week, but Nikola Jokic, man, I'm sorry. This is third one. It's his third one already. Maybe we get a candidate tonight, though, out of Wyoming. 15 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We're going to talk to the voice of the UNC Bears, Jerry Schimmel, coming up next. First, let's hear from our sponsors on this program. Without them, we couldn't do it. And you know what? On the Rocks Liquor had a big-time celebration last Friday, celebrating their 11th anniversary. They just keep right back at it. This week's Game Beer of the Week is from Breckenridge Brewing. Get a sampler pack, a 15-pack. Pick up selections from Breckenridge or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. This Friday, join the folks at On the Rocks for free tastings this Friday from reps from Copper Sky Distillery. They'll be offering free samples from 4 to 7 this Friday. Quick break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You want the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavner from AT&T Sports Net, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the South.
After 12 o'clock, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears. The Bears getting set to take on Portland State tonight. You can hear that right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, as well as 1310 KFKA.com. Jerry, I want to get to that. I want to get to the loss and everything, but I'm assuming you've seen this story circulating around the Greeley Tribune and all over the place from Jaden Watson-Fisher about, well, the headline, UNC football players claim program Ed McCaffrey failed their student athletes. A lot of it's interesting, but some of it's very serious when we're talking about financial aid. So I'm assuming you got a chance. It's a novel, man. It's like 20 pages.
It is a long article. That was pretty good work by Jaden to put all that together. But I thought it was interesting, Brady, because I'm trying to piece things together. As you know, I think a couple weeks ago there was an article in the Greeley paper as well about all the players that had gone to the transfer portal, and that really was the story was, hey, that's just a large number.
Right.
It's unusual. And then two and a half weeks later, we get this kind of scathing story from her. And I think what happened was, you know, she talked to some players, and then the story came out, and some of the players were like, you know, there's more to it than just that, and we want to be heard. So that's what I'm hearing is how this second story kind of evolved. And you're right, there's some very serious stuff in there, potential NCAA violations, certainly when it comes to scholarships and offers and taking them off the table and all that. There's rules that have to be followed, and maybe they weren't, maybe they were. We don't know that for sure right now, but just the fact that we're talking about it, that's out in the open right now, that it might be an issue, pretty serious stuff with the Bears.
Yeah, it really is. I was listening to, and we're in communication now with Darren Dunn and Ed McCaffrey later this week, but I was listening to Darren and Ed. They were on the morning show, Mornings with Gail, and Darren had mentioned, you know, the process of just, you know, changing financial aid. There's such a process that goes through it. You know, basically Darren's saying it's not like McCaffrey can just go into a computer database and he has to do it on his own. It has to go through so many different channels where maybe that's not really brought up in this article. So I thought that was interesting too.
Yeah, there's a protocol that has to be followed, and there's a compliance coordinator at UNC. There is one now, I think, at every Division I school, no matter what your size, at least one. So it has to go through that person as well. So you're right. There are dynamics. There are rules that have to be followed, guidelines that have to be looked at and all that. So it's easy to say, well, it was mismanaged, but it's a long process, and there are a lot of I've actually gone through that before. My older brother was a compliance coordinator for a long time at the Division I level, so I know how that process works, and it's a good point. You can't just go into a computer database and start changing things. You've got to go through protocol.
Yeah, it's interesting, I'm sure, and I know UNC is going to be trying to get ahead of this and just going through it with a fine-tooth comb just in case, but we'll see. The rest of it, though, Jerry, I will say this, not ideal. It's not like, you know, there's highlight communication problems, lack of preparation and investment, McCaffrey's qualifications, availability and accountability. So I'm reading through the rest of that. And again, while parents might disagree with me, players might disagree with me, the rest of the stuff is not, in my opinion, it's not like a fireable offense.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And I think we keep this in mind too, Brady. I've been in coaching for a long time, and at the college level included in baseball. And the guys that played were happy, and their parents were happy. The guys that didn't play were unhappy, and their parents were unhappy with you. So you're never going to have everybody like you. And I think in a situation like this where there might be some lack of communication, where you've lost a lot of games, got blown out several times this year, it's all accentuated. It's all magnified. And then it comes out in the media and becomes even more magnified. Now, I'm not saying that stuff that we read about didn't happen, and I don't know to what extent it happened or didn't happen, but I know I understand disgruntled parents because I've dealt with them for a long time, and it's not a fun thing to do as a head coach.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, Jerry, when the first article came out, I thought, oh, this is probably just going to blow over. Second article comes out, I don't know where I am, to be honest. I imagine, again, if – and I have a lot of respect for this administration. I have a lot of respect for Darren Dunn. If, you know, what they're saying is, hey, no, that stuff, that couldn't have happened. That's not possible. We're, you know, we are so strict on that, as every college is, then odds are this will also blow over at some point.
Yeah, and you hope that's the case. You know, there's so much stuff in there, as you said. You hit just on a couple of points, Brady, that I was thinking last night that, you know, half of it's true. There might be some serious stuff that's coming out of UNC, and there might be some changes. I don't know that for sure, but if a lot of that stuff is accurate, and I don't know why it would not be if it was written that way. And again, it takes investigation to find out, but there could be some, you know, some repercussions that way. I don't know how the ins and outs. Even though as the radio voice, that football team, I was on the outside looking in. I really was. The closest I got was talking to some players and some coaches and doing the coaches show. And I was at very few practices because I had to commute from Denver and all that. So I wish I had some insight. I really don't. I'm kind of like you are, I think, and the rest of us. I'm just gathering the information and trying to process what I'm reading in the newspaper.
Yeah, I hear you. It should be interesting to see what Jaden has to say when she's on the program later on. Jerry, let's talk about some positives. And overall, not the loss last Thursday, but overall, this UNC Bears basketball team has been very fun to watch. They've had a couple of snags now in their Big Sky Conference play, losing to Sac State, which I know was a really tough one to lose for them, especially being at home and thinking you can beat that team. But the Weber State game, you had them on the ropes. The tale of two halves, as you were talking about, second half, the wheels just totally came off.
Yeah, they did. And boy, I didn't see that coming. I really didn't. I thought in that ball game they would. We knew Weber State's good. They're talented. They're well coached. So they're not going to roll over, and you're not going to get a 25-point win against them. But I thought it'd be a great battle in the second half and just kind of keep doing the things in the first half and get yourself a 10 or 12, 15-point win. And to see that reverse in the second half was just crazy, Brady. I've done a lot of NBA games. I don't think I've seen quite that a bigger reverse in the second half. There have been those kinds of games, certainly. But leading by 10 and then down by 21 at one point, a 31-point swing in 10 minutes of play is almost unheard of at any level of basketball, NBA included. So, yeah, shocked by that. And I think a little bit of a perfect storm, the ball would just not go in for Northern Colorado, and everything that Weber State threw up. Guys that are shooting, you know, 20% from three-point land are knocking 3 and 4 in a row down. So a little bit of a perfect storm, but at the same time, they only have to look in the mirror to find out what happened. And hopefully it's a good lesson. They take that loss and learn from it and don't let that happen again.
Well, we were hoping they'd get a bounce right back at it on Saturday going up against Idaho State. Idaho State has some COVID issues on their side. So unfortunately, that game was postponed. However, we're still not waiting too long. The Bears are going at it tonight. At least I'm knocking on wood right now, going up against Portland State.
Yeah, you know, there's been a couple of games in college basketball this year where the players have actually warmed up on the court and been taken off the court because of the COVID issue. So, yeah, we're knocking on wood to have this one play tonight. And, you know, I'm getting ready for the game on Saturday, and I'm thinking, all right, Idaho State's a winnable game. I'm looking ahead to tonight with Portland State, which is a makeup game, by the way. And I'm thinking, all right, two games that are winnable. And then Portland State goes out and blows out Northern Arizona on the road on Saturday. An incredible win. And Northern Arizona's not a bad team. They're talented. And they won on the road, Portland State did, by, I think, 22 points. So I'm thinking, well, this is no gimme tonight either. So my point is the Bears know what's at stake. They've coming off a really tough loss. And hopefully, and they played well on the road this year, especially in the conference. And they're going to have to bring their A game tonight to beat a pretty good Portland State team.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on this team now? I mean, before that Weber State game, I thought, man, this is the game for first place. This is where the Bears are at this stage. But then you see that second half, not even the whole game, just that second half. How do you feel about UNC's chances to, you know, obviously be playing their best basketball within this next month or so as you round into form, getting set for the Big Sky Conference tournament?
I think you can... you can't completely forget about it, Brady, but I think you can push that game aside a little bit against Weber State because it was a little fluky and it was sort of a perfect storm. Then you take – and the Sacramento State game is a little bit that way too. But take the rest of the schedule. They played really well on the road. They beat Southern Utah on the road. They beat a really good Eastern Washington team on the road. They beat Idaho on the road that had beaten South Dakota State, a very, very good team. So to answer your question, I think they're going to be right there in the conference. I think they're going to be right there in the conference in the regular season for a title. We still got, you know, more than, 16 games to go, 15 or 16 games to go in the conference. And then you got the Big Sky Tournament. And what you want to be doing, of course, is playing your best basketball when that hits and give yourself a chance to go to the dance. So I really believe just seeing everybody play outside of Southern Utah. I didn't do that game. I've seen all the big boys in the conference play. I think that the Bears are right there talent-wise with anybody and have as good a shot as anyone at winning those two tournaments.
Boy, and in that first half against Weber State, it shows you know what this team is capable of. Yep. Weber State starts doubling up on the ball at the top of the key. We talked to Bodie about it a little bit and just couldn't seem to solve that defense. But I would imagine, knowing Steve Smiley, they were busting into a lot of film, especially in that second half of that Weber State game.
Yeah, exactly right. If they just had Jokic, it would be fine. You know, Brady, I'm watching that game. You just made me think of something. I was watching that game last night, and I know Milwaukee. How about that win for the Nuggets,
wow,
by the way? 36
yeah.
points on the road in the middle of a road trip against the
World Champs.
That was crazy. But you could see the game plan for Milwaukee, and that was – when Jokic got the ball in the low post, we double team. But if he's out in the perimeter, then we're just going to guard him man for man. So what you do, he has 8 assists in the first quarter by playing that perimeter game. And and that's what happened with UNC. They started doubling the ball in the perimeter, and UNC just didn't know how to react against Weber State. Jokic knows how to react when he gets pressure on the perimeter. He finds the open man and has 8 assists in one quarter. Just amazing stuff.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, maybe that's something Smiley's doing. Hey, let's watch some Joker film for like six
yeah.
hours. And because, again, and you know this, Jerry, you've covered so much basketball. You have to have that feel. When that double's coming, you almost have to anticipate where that pass is going to go before the double really takes over. Because in Dalen Kuntz's situation, you get two of those guys double teaming, you can't see outside of those guys.
Yeah.
So it is about anticipating that double team.
It is. And I think that's probably one of the weaknesses that I saw, Brady, to be real honest about this team at the beginning of the season, was they don't react to a double team real well. They got guys that can take players one-on-one. I mean, Dalen's as good as there is in the league at penetrating and finishing. I think Matt Johnson can be that type of player as well. He's a big, strong point guard that can break down a smaller player. Bodie Hume can do the same thing. You got John Cooch. All those guys can get to the hole offensively against their opponent. But when they get double teamed on the outside, it's a little bit of a panic. So, I think you're right. I think Steve Smiley is stressing that, working on it, trying to correct it. And maybe after that Weber State game, they'll be that much better in that category.
Jerry, what time you get rock and roll? Got pregame tonight at 8 o'clock, is that right?
8 o'clock, late game tonight. So you pregame at 8, and the tip-off at 8:30 from Portland, and I think it'll be a terrific game. I think it'll be a lot of fun tonight.
I'm going to put my slippers on, a cup of tea or something, and we're going to be sitting and listening to Jerry Schimmel broadcast, hopefully, a win, and we'll see
yeah.
this Bears team bounce right back.
You know what? Most of the time, Brady, when people listen to me, it's whiskey instead of tea. But if you want to do tea, you should.
It's Monday. I try not to go too crazy on Monday. But if it was Tuesday, that'd be different. That'd be much different.
Well, most people are like, hey, if I got to listen to Schimmel, I better have something to drink with.
Jerry, appreciate you, man. Hey, what do you got going? Amazing Americans rocking and rolling. I love that program. Boy, you had a gripping show. I was listening. I'm getting to listen a lot more because we're driving right about the time you're airing on KFKA. What a gripping program last week. What do you got in store for us this week?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I thought that was one of our most powerful stories, by the way. Micah Smith, the former volleyball
yeah.
player who had this alcohol problem. And she didn't hold back, did she? She told the whole story. And you know what's amazing, Brady, is we've had at least 3 people and probably more that we don't know about that have actually contacted us, either myself or Micah, and said, you know what, after listening to your program, I feel like I have a problem. And 2 of them have checked into rehab already.
Wow.
So, Yeah, so that kind of impact is just it's such a blessing for me. Anyway, to answer your question, we have an interesting guest this week. This woman, another woman, so we got three in a row, three women in a row on the show. This woman is the greatest ultra swimmer in history, and she owns just about every single record, better than all the males out there. And her biggest thing is she swam the English Channel four consecutive times. Took her 67 hours, something like that. Yeah, she not just swam the English Channel, but did it four straight times. And she did it less than a year after her last treatment for breast cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
Her name is Sarah Thomas. She lives here. She lives in Conifer, just outside of Denver. And she's the best ultra swimmer in world history. And she's going to tell her story about cancer and about swimming. And it is also gripping as well. Her trying to get out of the English Channel to finish that, she almost drowned after being in the water for 67 hours. She couldn't get out. So that and some other crazy stories she has just makes for a great, I think anyway, amazing Americans coming up this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Like, how about, like, superhuman Americans? That's
yeah.
phenomenal. What a story,
yeah.
Jerry. I'm looking forward to that one, man. Love that program.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. That's going to be a lot of fun listening to her, I think.
All right. Well, you keep up the amazing work on that. I love that show. I love what you're doing with UNC. Big one tonight. Let's bounce back. Let's grab a W. And Portland State, then a couple of days later at home. So we're going to get used to this team.
All right. Well, hey, get that tea brewing. We'll talk to you tonight.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Brady.
Jerry Schemmel, the voice of the UNC Bears. They're getting going tonight on KFKA. Pregame starts at 8 o'clock. It is a late one. Big night, big Monday night in basketball with UNC and Portland State going at it and CSU and Wyoming up north. Shout out to Rev Chiropractic, Dr. Tyler Terry and Dr. Haley Harada. Phenomenal chiropractors. Not your typical chiropractor, though. You say you got some back pain, they go, oh, where does it hurt? Doesn't matter. That's not them. That's not who they are. Their process is very much, you know, hey, we're going to sit you down. We're going to go through everything that's ailing you. We're going to get an x-ray. We're going to see where you're bothered. And then we're going to fix you up, but it's going to take time. Nothing worth doing is an instant fix. It's going to take time. I've been going for a year now. My back pain is all but gone, thanks to Rev Chiropractic. In Greeley, off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. 37 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to take a short break. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
41 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show. We're going to be getting more into CSU Wyoming coming up next. We're going to talk to Steve Ivey from Ram Nation, Swole Cracker himself, give us a little preview of what to expect tonight. So stay tuned to that. I want to start getting into this, and we're going to bring in the writer of the article, and that's Jaden Watson Fisher. But this is a long article, man, in the Greeley Tribune. And certainly is a topic of conversation throughout Greeley, Northern Colorado. A lot of this stuff is, you know, we're going to get into he said, she said, playing time and all that. But the very first bullet point that is very important, that is it's very serious stuff, is issue number one. Allegations of bias, possible NCAA violations. According to her article, players said the poor culture started with rampant favoritism that goes beyond what is expected in sports. Coaches typically have stronger connections with some players and often prefer their own recruits. They said that's normal. Okay. She goes on to talk about how excessive the preferential treatment ended up being was not. Several players emphasized they don't hold grudges against their teammates and that they got along with the other guys. Their frustrations are with McCaffrey and the system they say allowed this divide. And that's, after covering the Addazio thing, and again, I know that thing went south fast, but I've been covering CSU specifically on the football side, and McElwain's guys aren't really Bobo's guys, and Bobo's guys aren't really Addazio's guys, and Addazio's guys aren't going to be Norvell's guys. Wow, they went through a lot of coaches. That does happen. It's very rare that you have head coach and a son playing quarterback. That doesn't happen all the time either, so we all kind of knew getting into it that was going to be unique. That stuff, I more or less read that stuff, and I do read it as players frustrated with their treatment and maybe playing time. That's where my brain goes. This is where the serious stuff happens here. Several received a partial scholarship to attend UNC and were told they could receive an increase based on their performance. Make that very clear. Several received a partial scholarship to attend UNC and were told they could receive an increase based on their performance. And everything that I've had, you know, everything that I've heard, again, from my sources on the other side of this situation is that cannot happen, and that didn't happen. Now, we're kind of investigating this. We're digging through this. She uses anonymous players. So Mark is an anonymous player, making up the names, of course. Mark was one of those student-athletes. He was recruited by McCaffrey's staff and awarded a 50% scholarship for his first year, but the amount was increased before his second semester. The increase was supposedly removed before his third semester began. Mark said neither he nor his family was notified. They didn't find out until they received a larger-than-expected bill from the university. Then the quote is from Mark, "We asked the coaching staff, and they said they didn't know anything. We kept asking them what was going on, and they finally told us they brought it back down and didn't tell us or give us an explanation." Now, I listened to Darren Dunn, the athletic director for UNC, on Gale's program today, basically saying, you know, coaches can't just go in and they make that decision. Oh, your scholarship money's going down. Your financial aid is going down because you didn't perform well. From my sources on the other side, that's not how it works. We're just scratching the surface of how all of this works. Mysterio, bonuses can't happen in college, coming from a scholarship athlete myself. So where are you at on this, Mysterio? I from what I hear on this, there's a lot more to it than just a coach saying, you know what, we're moving it around. They have to go through compliance. They have to go through financial aid. They have to go through all of these different channels before it can get done. So essentially, coaches aren't just doing their own thing, running the wild, wild west over there. I think there's this idea from some reading the article, perhaps, that it's just the McCaffreys and his staff sitting there going, we like this guy, we're not crazy about that guy, reduce him, bring him in for more. To my understanding, doesn't quite work like that. That, again, it has to go through channels upon channels, that it physically can't happen under the table or anything like that, that it just can't. It has to go through all of these different compliances and such. And, again, I was not a college athlete. I didn't deal with that. I do know filling out financial aid just from a student side of things is a pain in the neck. Mysterio says, I don't know if there's anything that can happen if their grades fall before the recommended grade point average, but as far as the performance athletically, I think that is a huge NCAA violations. And again, from my sources on the inside, none of that was, there is statements in here talking about, you know, whether they would be able to play better, essentially you would get more or whatever. Several received a partial scholarship to attend UNC and were told they could receive an increase based on their performance. That is in the Tribune. That is a line there. And you can't do it that way. So we're going to talk to Jaden. These are all players that are coming and talking about this in this article. Last article was more or less parents. These are players. I received from one of my sources, a couple of my different sources on the player side, first line, I believe some of the story was exaggerated. I'm not sure who the guys were talking, but my guess is they're guys who weren't really around. And this is a player I very much trust. I want to get to more of this. I got to go, though. We got Steve Ivey coming up next, 48 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Follow NoCo Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
We're Welcome back into the whole show. We're going to move Steve. We want more time with the Swole Cracker, man, because Friday was a pretty big night for him, even though the Rams lost to UNLV. I want to talk to him at 1:30 today, so we'll bring Jaden in, who wrote this article in the Greeley Tribune. I think there's other things worth noting, too, and we did get a texter, and I won't read your name on this one. But this person's like, hey, I knew that while being a student athlete in college, I knew that if my cumulative GPA fell below at a 2.0, I knew that there was going to be issues with my scholarship just because that's the way that my scholarship offers were constructed. But I don't know if it's different with football and other sports. I can't imagine it's different with other sports. It's probably an understanding before you go into it with your scholarship. And if that's the case here, we don't have that. Is that something that was left out or not asked? What about the grade point averages and that side of it? So we're going to get to it. Again, bear with me. This is a 20-page article. But as far as the financial aid, there's about a page worth of interesting notes here. One little section in the article, section 15.3.3.1, also says 15.3.3.1 also says scholarships should be awarded in 1 year terms or more and not reduced unless the player violates conditions such as committing fraudulent misreputation, misconduct, or simply not meeting academic standards, which again goes to that. That very well could go to that case. But I want to finish reading what I got from a couple of players back and forth over the weekend. This player says some of the story is exaggerated. I'm not sure who the guys were who were talking, but my guess is they're guys who weren't really around. I wouldn't say any of it was flat out false, though, just missing the whole picture. Lack of preparation was spot on. We didn't even game plan for teams. Taking money and medically disqualifying guys, Ed didn't like cutting players on scholarship, was all true. Dave Baldwin telling Ed, basically having an argument with Ed, basically moving on after that. That was a mess. So there's a lot to go into from these players. And I think that it's, you know, again, it's worth talking to everybody. I think it's worth talking to players that are having positive experiences with the University of Northern Colorado as well. But the financial aid thing, there is a lot of X's and O's that could go with this, right? Jaden goes on to write that one player, Sam had a scholarship that was slightly reduced when Collins was still coaching. The original amount was supposed to be reinstated the following semester. Then UNC fired Collins. When approached about getting the 15% reinstated, McCaffrey allegedly wouldn't honor the agreement Collins made. Sam said he brought information about his performance in spring practices, but according to this article, McCaffrey asked how many 100-yard games and touchdowns he had. The answer, none. Sam had been a redshirt and experienced injuries early in his career. Now that is, again, these are damning quotes. So you do have to take this very, very seriously. But I will say again, listening to Darren this morning on Mornings with Gale, does seem like the process is not just willy-nilly of McCaffrey gets to decide quickly on who gets what. How that's all handled on that side. Page number one is the biggest issue. Pages 3 through 20 or whatever, certainly important, certainly need to learn from it. But page number one is a very serious accusation. And one I do think that you got to do your due diligence and comb through this here. Because if this is happening, yeah, things are going to get ugly. So we're going to talk to Jaden about that coming up in the second hour. 12:57 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I do want to hit up our poll question today. We haven't even hit it. Our Method Flow poll question of the day is available at theholeshow.com. You can check it out. CSU or Wyoming tonight? I got my pick. And everybody thinks I'm a jinx, Jaden. It's really, really offensive. Really quite offensive, to be honest with you. I'm not a jinx. I can't pick them right all the time, or even 50% of the time, or even like 20% of the time. Second hour coming up next. Jaden Watson Fisher of the Greeley Tribune in the 1 o'clock hour.